Blog Talk Radio.
Tomorrow you have a guest, Leo, is that what you told me?
Tomorrow we have Gail Tonsing.
Yeah, we have Gail Tonsing on, who will talk to us about Palestinian issues, and she'll be coming on tomorrow.
Right.
But tonight we have just news, and there's plenty out there, lots of interesting articles, I thought, Leo.
Well, there's a couple here that really knocked me out today. There's a little video that I'd like to hear
the audio part?
Yeah, and I thought we would play this first because
okay.
Obama's Hitler Kids, 2012 election.
Oh.
New World Order youth sing for Manchurian leader, the New World Order,
which
is Obama. And it's really pretty frightening when you see this nationwide Barack Obama love fest going on amongst the schools, where schools are
singing to him
and worshiping him.
Sick idea.
I mean, it really kind of irks you. And this is a little it's about 4 minutes long, but it has all these different songs. And at the end, and I'll have to read it because it's in German. But there's 30 seconds that show Hitler's youth. Okay.
Doing the same thing?
Doing the exact same thing in Nazi Germany.
Okay, so let's play this.
And singing similar songs. Yeah, this is really interesting. Yeah. So this is on YouTube, actually. 4 minute video, first 30 is Barack Obama supporters propagandizing.
The last 30 seconds is Adolf Hitler's Nazi youth being educated the same way.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's watch this.
Sunday,
a neighbor's
We're
house.
We're gonna spread happiness. We're gonna spread freedom. Obama's gonna change it. Obama's gonna lead 'em. We're gonna change it and rearrange it.
It's like 6 or 7 years old.
We're gonna change the world.
Thank you.
gonna change it. Obama's gonna lead 'em. We're gonna change it and rearrange it. We're gonna change the world.
It says, please vote, Obama.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna have the next part on. Will be the Hitler Youth.
Yep. Here it comes. Adolf Hitler is our savior.
Never have cult worship like that. Never.
No, they did that with Bush too. They did it with Bush. Mm-hmm. You know, the fundamentalists. They did a documentary on that. Which I remember.
That's right.
They were worshiping. They were praying.
Very unhealthy
for Bush kids.
Obama burned the studio.
This quickly. We have to read some of this because there's no words to it, so it's going to be a lot of reading. But it's very important.
It says name, Barack Hussein Obama II, alias Barry Soturo, born 1961, politics socialist, status unclear.
And this is what we know of this guy.
Father, Barack Hussein Obama Sr., born colony of Kenya, status British subject, politics communism, religion Muslim. Mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, born Wichita, Kansas, status U.S. citizen, politics progressive, religion secular humanism. In other words, she's an atheist. Obama's parents met in a Russian language class at the University of Hawaii in 1961. They got married February 2, 1961. Barack is born later that year. They separate when Barack is 2 years old and divorce in 1964. Place of birth, allegedly Hawaii. Hospital of birth, allegedly Kapi'olani. Delivering doctor unknown, birth certificate unavailable. He will not release a copy of his original birth certificate for examination by the public. Obama's mother then marries Indonesian student Lolo Soturo, also a Muslim. Soturo is recalled to Indonesia by Suharto in 1967. Mother and son follow Lolo to Indonesia soon after. Barack is then adopted by Lolo. Obama is renamed Barry Soturo at age 6. He is enrolled in the first grade.
They show his enrollment.
According to his records, he is a citizen of Indonesia and his faith is Islam. There is no record that Barry Soturo ever officially changed his name back to Barack Obama, so he may now be operating under a false identity. There is no record that Barry Soturo ever officially changed his citizenship back to American, so he may currently remain an Indonesian citizen.
There's a picture of he and his family.
In 1971, at age 10, Barry Soturo is sent by his mother to live with his maternal grandparents in Hawaii.
Get this. His grandparents were communists.
Barry's grandparents are communists. They specifically enrolled their daughter in the Mercer Island High School near Seattle when the chairman of the school board there testifies to being a communist.
And
while growing up in Hawaii, he meets Frank Marshall Davis, a journalist, poet, self-avowed communist, labor union activist, and friend of his grandparents. Davis has been under investigation by the FBI and Congress. He becomes Obama's mentor. Obama admits to attending a socialist conference and coming into contact with Marxist literature. Karl Marx advocated the redistribution of wealth and endorsed the organization known as Socialist International.
Communism was based on Marxist literature.
Barry maintains his relationship with Frank Marshall Davis through grade 12. Barry leaves Hawaii. He allegedly attends Occidental College in Los Angeles. Only the accounts of friends prove he was there. He has never released any transcripts or records of his time at Occidental. It is alleged that while at Occidental, he used the name Barry Sotoro and was registered as a student from Indonesia. California Assembly records suggest that he received a state grant as a foreign exchange student from Indonesia.
They show that.
So he didn't have to pay.
And, yeah, it goes on, folks.
In his book, Dreams from My Father, Obama said that of his days at Occidental, I choose my friends carefully. I chose the more politically active black students, the Marxist professors, and structural feminists. Barry's friends at Occidental include three Pakistanis named Wahid Hamid, Sohale Sedqui, and Mohammed Hassan Chandu.
And he was in total support of Palestine.
At that time?
Yeah. It says...
The purpose of the trip remains unknown.
Barry's friends at Occidental include...
Mohammed Hassan Chandu later becomes a bundler.
It's interesting.
The purpose of the trip, it doesn't say.
Well, I may travel to Pakistan in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan later becomes a bundler.
Mohammed
Hassan, for Obama's raising as much as $100,000.
After 2 years, Barry leaves Occidental. He allegedly attends Columbia University in New York City. Only the accounts of friends and professors prove that he was there. He has never released any transcript writings or records of his time at Columbia. He allegedly attends Harvard University and graduates with a JD and becomes president of the Harvard Law Review. He has never released any transcripts, writings, or records of his time at Harvard. He goes to Chicago, becomes an attorney, and begins work as a community organizer. When he is sworn in as an Illinois attorney, he is asked under oath if he has ever used any other names. He responds, none. By doing so, he defrauds the State Bar of Illinois and perjures himself. He reads Rules for Radicals written by Saul Alinsky and embraces the concepts wholeheartedly.
I do too.
Mike Krulik had this to say about Obama's mastery of Alinsky's methods. He was a natural, the undisputed master of agitation who could engage a room full of recruiting targets. Well, Hillary Clinton was going to be mentored by him.
Yeah.
He meets with Billy as an unrepentant terrorist and co-founder of the Weather Underground in the 1960s. This group claimed responsibility for a dozen bombings.
He meets, from 1995 to 1999, Obama is chairman of the Chicago Annenberg Challenge, a project designed to reform Chicago public schools. Bill Ayer writes the initial grant application. A grant is issued for $49.2 million. Matching donors increase that amount even more.
The funds are spent but not well accounted for, and interestingly, public schools do not improve. He started his political career in the home of Billy, as who says he didn't do enough during the 1960s.
He joins a new party formed by the Democratic Socialists of America, and radical activist Noam Chomsky, who is also a member of the new party. Never heard of the new party.
I don't think it either. It's been a big in Chicago. Socialists of America. Democratic Socialists of America is self-described as the largest socialist organization in the United States and the principal U.S. affiliate of the Socialist International.
And that means they're all communists.
The new party works alongside a group known as ACORN, an organizer. Obama trains ACORN employees. As a lawyer, Obama represents ACORN in a lawsuit. That's why they get all that money.
Yeah, and...
shut off.
That's interesting. They're being sued.
ICON has come under investigation in at least 14 states for voter registration fraud. He meets the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, a former Muslim-turned Christian. Wright's sermons are fiery, anti-American, anti-white diatribes. In Jeremiah Wright's most famous sermon, he says, God bless America. No, no, God damn America. Obama calls Wright his friend and mentor. Obama's law firm represents a developer. He strikes a deal between his client and Lebanese businessman Tony Rezko to build low-income housing. Rezko is known as a slum landlord, and his housing projects are not well maintained. Rezko becomes an early Obama supporter. Obama buys a house with Rezko's help, even while Rezko is under investigation in a corrupt scandal. Rezko was found... you're going too fast. You got to stop that.
Obama attends annual banquets of Arab American Action Network. He supports the Palestinians.
That didn't last long. He confirms with PLO advisor Edward Said.
In the 2002 annual banquet of the AN, he made a host to the Chicago professor. Chicago professor and former PLO president, a spokesman, Rashid Kaladi.
He describes Israel's action as genocide against the Palestinian people.
Weather Underground founder Bill Ayers and Benjamin Bernadine Dorm are in prison.
It is fit for the presidency. Obama gets millions of dollars in illegal campaign contributions, many from foreign sources. $33,000 came from the Rafah refugee camp in Gaza. Phone banks are set up in Gaza to solicit donations.
Interesting.
At least $500,000 is received from foreign sources who are not identified and report being not employed. Obama is also funded by George Soros, a billionaire and international socialist. Soros writes a book calling for an international government. Oh, jeez. Can't support that guy at all.
You can't support anyone here. He also receives heavy support from the unions. He confers regularly with SEIU President Andy Stern. Stern has said, workers of the world unite is not just a slogan anymore. It's kind of scary, too.
As a United States Senator, Barack Obama was rated one of the most liberal in 2007. He was rated the most liberal. In 2007, he was rated the most liberal. As President of the United States, Barack Obama's actions have threatened the U.S. Constitution, weakened Americans' defenses, encouraged our enemies, irritated our closest allies, moved us towards socialism, increased our budget deficit, increased our national debt, weakened our economy, trivialized the war on terror, failed to meet his promises. Well, some of those I agree with, some I don't. Nails Sankey and Susan Daniels combed through dozens of public databases and now allege that Obama has used multiple Social Security numbers during his life. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They go on to show which ones they are. There's just about 20 minutes left, like 20 seconds.
None of the Social Security numbers that Obama used were issued by the state of Hawaii.
Huh. But he has that one in Connecticut.
The SS... that Obama number that Obama is now using was issued in the state of Connecticut circa 1976 to 79 to a person born in 1890. If not, the man is still at large, he is dangerous.
That's Obama. Interesting, huh, folks?
I think the most damning thing is the Social Security number.
Yeah, I mean, they've had this information for a long time, too, and you know, they're not, it's been out there, you know? And, I mean, Donald Trump had him dead to rights, but for some reason he must have been threatened with death, you know, to give it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he gave it up awful fast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, that's so much for the great Barack Obama. But I got one more that I want to talk about tonight with Barack Obama, but more so with his idiot henchman, Rahm Emanuel, and this NATO summit coming up over there, and the WTO and all this. What's happening? Why the riots are, and what's planned? And this is by theintelhub.com. And what's happening is they've actually, army convoys are headed towards NATO summit as Chicago law enforcement prepares for war with protesters. Chicago police and security personnel. This is Intel Hub, by the way.
Chicago, this is for May 18th. This is already done.
Yeah, but this is why we didn't read this before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's only the 22nd, right? But it says Chicago police security are set for what they seem to believe will be. No, this isn't done. It's happening now.
It's going on now.
I was just watching reports.
It slowed down today. It was very heated over the weekend.
And it is today. I just saw recent ones where they were beating the hell out of these protesters today. It says Chicago police don't listen to NPR, Lila. Don't listen to them. Chicago police and security personnel are set for what they seem to be. Will be a full-scale battle with protesters during this weekend's NATO summit, with numerous protest groups set to launch widespread protests throughout the weekend. The police state is out like never before. So this will give you an idea of what these protesters were up against.
Yeah, the police were dressed in United Nations gear.
They had UN helmets on.
Yeah. I don't like that if those were Chicago police. I don't think that's
right.
Well,
they weren't Chicago police.
I don't know who they were.
If they were, they were UN people, or they were, American soldiers, identifying as UN soldiers, you know. So in the most eerily reminiscent of Soviet Union, East Germany, multiple activists were arrested and literally disappeared just days before the summit. An article published in by Russian TV quoted National Lawyers Guild spokesman in regards to the pre-crime arrests. Hermes added to the Tribune that there's absolutely no evidence of wrongdoing, and the law enforcement officers were simply trying to make the activists disappear days before police expect major anti-NATO protests. We were literally calling all morning and all afternoon to try to contact these people, Hermes said. That's why we use the term disappeared. In separate statements offered to the NBC News station in Chicago, Hermes added, the city has so far not indicated the reasons for the raid, what they are charging the protesters with, nor provided any evidence of wrongdoing, and that the NLG is still seeking a copy of the search warrant used in the raid.
Preemptive raids like this are the hallmark of a national special security event, says Sarah Gelsomino of the National Lawyers Guild and the People's Law Office. The Chicago police and other law enforcement agencies should be aware that this behavior will not be tolerated.
I wonder if they made Bill Ayers disappear.
And result in real consequences for the city. He was probably an informant. The search warrant was not shown to those arrested for 4 hours after the arrest, and was missing a signature from a judge, making the warrant completely illegal. Meanwhile, security services, the FBI and the Secret Service, are planning to jam cell phone towers throughout Chicago in order to disrupt First Amendment-protected protests. That's right, we now live in a country where the FBI and Secret Service are used to disrupt and hurt American citizens who are attempting to express their First Amendment rights. These plans are very telling, especially when you consider Obama recently condemned Iran and Syria for carrying out similar actions. Many citizens have also questioned why the entire city should suffer simply because NATO globalists are meeting to discuss continued world domination. Security around the NATO summit will be at an all-time high, giving police and security forces a chance to use their high-tech police state weapons on live crowds. With the city of Chicago investing at least $1 million in riot control equipment and warning the Red Cross of possible evacuations, things are sure to get extremely hairy, and they did on the weekend. Top that off with recently spotted Army vehicles headed toward Chicago, and you have a recipe for an extremely violent weekend.
Which it was, and they don't play very well on radio, but I can testify that there were that you know having seen these videos that they are the police are knocking the hell out of these guys, Let's see. We're going to something a little lighter here because I wanted to touch. I have a few help. Things that I wanted to talk about. One which was really kind of surprising, it's not a very long article, but it's posted as it's about hydrogen peroxide, which is a miracle medicine.
Hmm. Hydrogen peroxide, where's this from? What's the...
It's from, I don't know, Cancer Truth's photo. It's, it came from
I don't
there,
know
but,
where this is from. Health tip, anyway.
Well, it came from, I picked it up from someone on YouTube, on Facebook, and it's shared under Cancer Truth's photo.
Okay.
Right? So,
hydrogen,
okay.
Hydrogen peroxide ranks up there as one of the best household remedies. Hydrogen peroxide is one of the few miracle substances still available to the general public. It's safe, readily available, and dirt cheap. And best of all, it works. Do you know that you probably had your first sip of hydrogen peroxide shortly after you took your first breath? That's right. Mother's milk, especially colostrum, contains extremely high concentrations of hydrogen peroxide in light of H2O2. In light of the fact that we know that one of the main functions of mother's milk is to activate and stimulate the immune system in the infant, the fact that it contains a large, abnormally large amounts of H2O2 makes sense. As far back as the early 19th century, hydrogen peroxide was widely used in medicine. Many bacterial diseases, including syphilis, responded to H2O2 when no other treatment was effective. In the early 20th century, H2O2 was used to treat several common diseases, such as whooping cough, cholera, typhoid fever, ulcers, tuberculosis, and asthma. However, as the pharmaceutical industry began to develop expensive new drugs, hydrogen peroxide was increasingly ignored and finally discarded as a treatment. H2O2 stimulates natural killer NK cell, natural killer cells, which attack cancer cells as they attempt to spread throughout the body. In the body's immune response, hydrogen peroxide is released by T cells to destroy invading bacteria, viruses, and fungi. Blood platelets release hydrogen peroxide on accounting particulates in blood. In the large intestines, Acidophilus lactobacillus produces H2O2, which keeps the ubiquitous candida yeast from multiplying out of control. When candida spreads out of the intestines, it escapes the natural control system and can gain a foothold in the organs of the body, causing what is now called chronic fatigue syndrome. I didn't know that. During flu season, if the kiddos feel like they're getting sick, we lay them down on their side and put a few drops of hydrogen peroxide into their ear. After a few seconds, the liquid will bubble, indicating that it's killing the infection. After 5 or 10 minutes, we turn them over and pee on the other ear. No one yet fully understands the complete workings of hydrogen peroxide, but we do know that it is loaded with oxygen. We know that when H2O2 is taken into the body, orally or intravenously, the oxygen content of the blood and blood tissue increases dramatically. Please remember that hydrogen peroxide that is available at your local pharmacy, 3% hydrogen peroxide, should never be ingested orally since it contains many stabilizers. The only grade recommended for internal use is 35% food grade. Hydrogen peroxide, which must be properly diluted down to 3% with water. I use hydrogen peroxide each night before bed as a rinse and also as a natural teeth whitener. Huh.
There.
How about that?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all.
So there's a different kind
only,
of part.
Yeah, you have to go to the grade. The only grade where internally is 35% food grade hydrogen peroxide. I don't know where you
get that. I never even heard of that.
Which must be properly diluted to 3%. I mean, I remember, they always did that in mouthwashes at the dentist when I was a kid. Even, you know, you always had peroxide in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it would foam up. Don't you? You don't remember?
No.
I remember. And they would give you, they would put peroxide in some...
the cup?
Yeah, with a little mouthwash.
Oh.
You know, they'd put it in with the mouthwash.
Oh.
And you would slush it. You know, you don't drink it, you slush
it. If you had a sore throat, you could gargle with
peroxide. Yeah, I did that when I was...
You know, to kill the bacteria.
I used to do that as a kid.
Yeah.
And,
he didn't swallow it, of course.
No,
he just gargled.
He tried not to, yeah. But I remember it more so in toothpaste. Not toothpaste, but used in...
Mouthwash.
Mouthwash, thank you. Thank you. I love this photo. Somebody sent this over, and I really enjoyed it. Did you notice this?
No.
There's four pictures, and it says it was from a predictive programming in films, music, media, and cartoons, and they have a picture of Cinderella, okay?
Yeah.
And getting married to Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right.
Oh yeah.
Right
Will and
there,
Kate
right,
have...
right next to it, they have Will and Kate in the same exact
outfits.
You know, well, kind of the same. A white, you know, white gown and. He has the same uniform that Prince William is wearing in his
Prince Charming is wearing the same uniform
in Cinderella.
Yeah.
And then below they have a picture of the two sisters, Fergie's daughters. Remember?
Oh yeah, the Wicked Stepsisters.
The Wicked Stepsisters, right? They're in the same colors and hair and hats as Cinderella's. Sisters in the cartoon movie Cinderella. It's really hysterical to see.
Weird.
To see that.
But nothing happens by accident.
No. So why
would they deliberately do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you got to remember that movie was what 50 years.
The movie was made first, but why would they?
Why would they copy that? I don't know.
What is the thinking behind that?
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
And when I posted, I just put a fairy tale wedding with a question mark.
And why would Fergie's two daughters go along with that?
Yeah.
Because they look, I thought, ridiculous.
They did, but so do they. You know, it was more of a mockery of that fairy tale, wasn't it?
Mm.
You know, it was more of an exaggeration of the fairy tale. Than anything else. Just actually, it's a remarkable picture and a remarkable thing. And I have one more really interesting thing that I found here and posted as watermelon. Watermelon prevents erectile dysfunction, enhances heart health, improves insulin sensitivity, is an awesome brain food, and has the same water content as the brain, which is approximately 92%. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it says you can keep your house clean with your body clean with watermelon by going on a watermelon fast for 7 days or weeks. This can help clear anything from parasites, viruses, and bacteria. Watermelon provides prostate protection, helps reduce cholesterol, and has been shown to help control blood pressure. Loaded with vitamin A and C, potassium, lycopene, and thousands of minerals and nutritional components. Watermelon also has arginine, which is one of the main ingredients in Viagra, and helps prevent erectile dysfunction and improves insulin sensitivity. Isn't that incredible?
I didn't think watermelon had any nutritional value.
I just thought it was
value.
Not really, other than sweet
and tasty and good.
Yeah. And I really kind of like this. This was shared by a guy, one of my friends on Facebook, and it's a quote by Sam Adams.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it says, "If we love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than animating contests of freedom. Go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsel or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. By Sam Adams. We're saying this to the people who
read that last week.
Did we?
It was in something else.
Okay. Well, anyway, this one was a good one, too. People who dismiss the unemployed and dependent as parasites fail to understand economics and parasitism, which is a successful parasite is one that is not recognized by its host, one that can make its host work for it without appearing as a burden, such as the ruling class in capitalistic society. That was by Jason Reed. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I read a quote from the most evil, tyrannical bastard that ever lived.
Henry Kissinger.
And he's telling the world how he told this...
He's the devil.
What's that? In an interview...
He's the devil.
Yeah. But anyway... He told...
Satan's representative.
Hang on a second. Here we go. It's by Project NSearch. Okay. Here we go. The elite fences itself in. Kissinger announces order out of chaos. And...
this is Jurian Mattson, ExplosiveReports.com. Jurian. In a recent statement, Henry Kissinger admitted that social upheaval and mass civil unrest are to be used as a means of merging the U.S. into an international system. The United States has to be part of an international system that we create domestically, he told the Harvard Crimson at the beginning of this month. When asked what the most important problems are facing American society today, Kissinger answered, "Internationally, the problem is that there are upheavals going on in every part of the world, but these upheavals don't follow the same basic causes, so the United States has to be part of an international system that we create domestically." What the old man is saying here ties neatly into statements he made in the past concerning the concepts of seizing crises and upheavals, the cause of which may differ from nation to nation, in order to bring an international order, therefore following the elite's golden rule that order is best brought about by chaos. Furthermore, he provides us with a glimpse of the underlying intent he and his fellow Bilderbergers have in mind, stating in so many words that civil unrest, be it economically, politically, or socially motivated, must be seized upon in order to merge nations into the desired international system. In December 2008, PrisonPlanet.com article, it was reported that Kissinger, in an interview with the darling of the Bilderbergs, Charlie Rose, cited that the chaos being wrought across the globe by the financial crises and the spread of terrorism as an opportunity to bolster a new global order, Steve Watson wrote.
I think that when the new administration accesses the position in which it finds itself, it will see a huge crisis and terrible problems, but I can see that it could be a glimmer in which it could construct an international system out of it, Kissinger told Rose. And all this talk of crisis and upheaval is just another country-specific means to a centralized global end could specifically point to a plan. And while at the surface the elite might scurry to salvage the ailing euro as currency cohesion crumbles, it may have developed a darker plan B that in case the euro may turn out to be beyond repair, the solution of world currency will be provided.
Seize the euro crisis, in other words, to introduce a world currency. This follows course of classic Hegelian dialectic, namely the problem, whether real or feigned, provokes the reaction which in turn allows the elite to provide the solution in on a silver plate. It just now occurred to me that Kissinger's words are ominously reminiscent of those written down by the University of Chicago's Alexander Wendt, who in 2003, in his treatise titled Why a World State is Inevitable, Technology and the Logic of Anarchy, stated,
okay. So anyway, the article goes on, but we have to get go elsewhere here. So you can get it at project.nsearch and check this one out. It's pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got one more I wanted to read before we go to Peter and
Woody in the ring.
Drinking high fructose corn syrup really does make you stupid. How do you think of that? Top five cancer-causing foods as well.
Well, let's have a short one because we have Woody on the line there.
Well, he's not due for four more minutes. So
let's make this fast.
Okay. All right. Naturalnews.com, and this one is really fascinating. Says, drinking high fructose corn syrup really does make you stupid. All right? We're going to... What the hell did I get there?
I don't know, but you're wasting time.
Wait a minute. For some reason, I just got a pop-up on this thing. And here we go.
Okay, if you think eating and drinking food... If you think eating and drinking foods that contain high fructose corn syrup every now and again will not do that much harm, think again. A new study out of the University of California has found out that consuming high fructose corn syrup can actually destroy memory, slow mental function, and ultimately deteriorate brain performance. For this study, a team of researchers first trained a group of rats to navigate a complicated maze for 5 days and then divided this group into... Well, anyway, they did this
small
whole
groups,
study.
But let me finish. Both groups were then fed a solution containing high fructose corn syrup as their drinking water for 2 weeks, while only one group was given flaxseed oil, which is rich in omega-3 fatty acids. At the end of a six-week period, both groups of rats were put back in a maze to see how they performed at navigating it. Upon observation and analysis, the UCLA team discovered that the group fed only the high fructose corn solution had reduced synaptic activity in the brain, which resulted in rats having trouble figuring out the maze. The brain cells of these high fructose corn syrup affected rats literally could not signal properly, which illustrates a clear link between consumption of this highly processed sugar and brain damage. Their brain cells had trouble signaling each other, disrupting the rats'
ability
to think clearly and recall the route they learned 6 weeks earlier, said the neurosurgeon. And about the rats that consumed just the high fructose corn syrup solution, our study shows that a high fructose diet harms the brain as well as the body. And beyond just brain damage, the team also found that without supplemental DHA and omega-3s, high fructose corn syrup consumption leads to insulin resistance because of the particular way fructose appears to disrupt neural the brain absorption of insulin. This discovery confirms that HFC, or high fructose corn syrup, even more so than the glucose and other forms of processed sugar, is definitively and uniquely linked to causing diabetes, claims of corn and refiner industry to the contrary. Our findings illustrate that what you eat affects how you think, and confirming that we have been saying here at the Natural News for a long time, eating a high fructose diet over the long term alters your brain ability to learn and remember information, but adding omega-3 fatty acids to your meals can help minimize the damage.
Okay.
So stop eating high fructose corn syrup.
Yep, and we're going to go to Woody's Music.
Which is in all of your juice there, Lila.
Right, I know, I was thinking that right now.
Corn syrup, that's in everything, by the way. Everything is sweetened with that. It's cheaper than sugar.
That's right. So you try to buy, like, all natural stuff without it. Leo and I were just talking about it. Some
There's Coca-Cola from Mexico uses cane sugar, and that's the best-tasting Coca-Cola there is.
Well, you better drink that than you are to drink something with high fructose corn syrup, that's
right,
for sure.
Right, yeah, it's sweetened with cane sugar, and you can tell the difference. But according to the corn lobby, your body processes it equally as it does sugar. I just find that hard to believe.
Yeah, well, what they left out is that it destroys your brain.
All right, no surprise. Moving on. Okay, good evening, sports fans. Watch your heads on the ropes as you step into the ring with Woody. Tonight's topics, NBA playoffs, NFL news. NFL is always in the news. A little bit of golf, and, of course, some baseball. But let's get right down to it. The NBA playoffs are in full action. We have Boston over Philadelphia. They're up 3-2, 3-2. And I assume Boston will probably close off Philly. I think what's important for Boston in this, would have been important for Boston in this series, would be to close off it, you know, and close Philly out really quickly. Boston is a team with older veteran guys, and they need to be off their legs as much as possible. So this going to seven games, you know, which it very well might, is not to their favor. It's going to hurt them in the next round, but I think they will, in the end, beat Philly. And this is the Eastern Conference semifinals. In the other semifinal game, we have Miami, the much-hated Miami against Indiana. I saw an ESPN poll the other day on ESPN, and everyone in the country is rooting against the Miami Heat. They couldn't even carry the state of Florida. Florida, it was a push on the number of people supporting and the number of people not supporting the Miami Heat. So that's pretty funny. That series right now is tied at 2-2, and you know, there's a huge game. You know, Game 5 is huge. It's in Miami, and that's on as we speak. It's been on for the last 30 minutes or so. And that's a very big game. It's in Miami. Indiana should have won Game 4, but they didn't. They faltered at home. But we'll see. I think they're a tougher team, and it would be fantastic if they could knock Miami out of the box. In the Western Conference Finals, you know, we had some teams waiting around to get it on. San Antonio Spurs, they swept the Clippers. They exposed the Clippers for the weak team that they were, 4-0, which is, you know, great. And they'll be going up against the Oklahoma City team. They managed to beat the Lakers and Kobe Bryant. Lakers have a lot of work to do if they expect to, you know, win another championship. Frankly, I think it's kind of over for Kobe. I don't think he's going to get another one unless, you know, they take Howard from the Magic. And since the Magic just fired their coach at Howard's demand, I doubt that he's going anywhere, Dwight Howard, that is. But, okay, so I think, I mean, coming out of the West, I think it's going to be in the finals. I'm going to give my finals prediction. I think San Antonio will probably beat Oklahoma. They'll represent the West. And then coming out of the East, I think it'll be the winner of the Miami-Indiana series. But, you know, we'll have to see. But that's my prediction. Okay, moving on a little bit to a little bit of golf. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods returned to the Congressional Country Club on Monday for the first time since winning there at the 2009 AT&T National. He said it was good to see an old friend. He loved the course during a promotional tour in the Washington, D.C. area, June 28th and July 1st, AT&T National. The event benefits the Tiger Woods Foundation. Woods said he took a few days off after his last tournament and just started cranking up his workouts out at the range and in the gym. And since winning the Arnold Palmer Invitational in March, Woods finished in a tie for 40th in the Masters, missed the cut at the Wells Fargo Championship, tied for 40th in the Players Championship this month. And, you know, he says he's headed in the right direction. I don't really see it. I see inconsistency. I don't see him heading in the right direction. However, he says you have to understand, even when he's had some really good years, whether it was early 2000s or mid-2000s, whatever it was, even if he was winning golf tournaments, he still felt like he could improve and get better each and every day. I never looked at it and said, wow, that's my peak. I can't get better. So, you know, obviously he wants to try and get better now, and he thinks he's headed in the right direction. As I said, I don't see consistently better. So I don't see it. Frankly, I've never been a Tiger Woods fan, so I'm not really going to be one that's going to toot his horn. I'm going to be expecting him to show me before I will talk about it. And so far, I haven't seen it from him. Speaking of seeing something from somebody, for the first time in more than a year, Peyton Manning looked across the line of scrimmage and he saw defense. He was wearing a helmet, shorts, and a jersey, but the Denver Broncos' first organized team activity Monday was enough to make the 36-year-old giddy. It felt good to be out there, and I haven't really been out there like this for a year and a half. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a very long time, Manning said. Manning passed against an NFL defense for the first time since multiple neck surgeries, forcing him to miss the entire 2011 season as a member of the Colts. He was asked how he's progressing from that neck injury. He said, it's hard to say. I try to get better every day. That's my goal. I really need to use this time. I do think there's a difference when you're on the field in helmets going up against the defense. Up until now, we haven't been able to go against defense, so this will be great work for me. Coach John Fox and Manning raised everybody's level of play. In 2011, Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton, and Brady Quinn vied for the number one spot. This year's starter is definitely undisputed. He's getting better every day. According to Fox, his progress has been outstanding. So we'll wait and see. We'll see how durable Peyton Manning indeed is going to be. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I've always liked him as a quarterback, and he's been quite an ambassador for the league. So, you know, I wish him all the luck. It would be a shame if he, you know, if he goes down and his, you know, his neck is no good and we can't watch him play on Sundays anymore. But, you know, I think the Indianapolis Colts did the right move cutting him and allowing them to grab the number one guy in the draft and, you know, just to kind of take a shot. And, you know, it was a kudos to Denver for pulling the trigger on the trade. I mean, I think this, you know, is it a successful trade? It's definitely too early to say whether it's a successful trade or not. But it's going to be very interesting to see how things work out. Okay. Moving on to a little bit more in the football world. We got a Jets lineman, the New York J-E-T-S, Jets. They're one of their linemen. He's had criminal charges hanging over his head. Kendrick Ellis, age 24. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor assault and battery in Hampton, Virginia, meaning he doesn't admit guilt, but, you know, he said that, you know, they would get him if he went to trial. He took 45 days. A little 45-day stint. His sentence begins on June 15th, according to his attorney. He had faced a felony charge of malicious wounding stemming from a fight at Hampton University where he was a student. 2010, under the plea agreement, he was sentenced to 179 days in jail with 89 days suspended. The 90-day sentence gets cut to 45 based on good behavior in Virginia law. And he also got a couple years probation. By pleading to a misdemeanor, he avoided the chance of deportation. A felony conviction could have resulted in deporting for Ellis, who was born in Jamaica and is not a U.S. citizen. So that's kind of interesting. And, you know, I guess he'll get his jail on, and then he'll be back out and back on the field for the Jets. No surprise that they have a guy that's going to jail. A big deal for the Patriots. Patriots announced that Wes Welker has signed a franchise tender contract. The receiver last week posted on his Twitter account that he inked a $9.5 million deal that comes with being the team's designated franchise player. That's a good move for the Patriots. Welker provides a lot of speed, and you know, even though he did drop a couple big passes in the Super Bowl, and a lot of Patriots fans will tell you that he cost them the Super Bowl. That's not really so. A number of things cost the Patriots the Super Bowl. Did his drop ball, have something to do with it? Absolutely. But there was also a number of other things that participated in the Patriots losing the Super Bowl. Anyway, moving on, but still staying in the courtroom. Roger Clemens was photographed in Jose Canseco's pool in June 1998. And the can of beer that prosecuting witness Brian McNamee allegedly stuffed with medical waste was in distribution in 2001. About the time McNamee was collecting and saving evidence, Alexander Lowry, photographed with Clemens, was one of four government witnesses on the stand in Monday's perjury trial. Lowry, 11 at the time, testified that he was at Canseco's Miami home for about 3 hours between noon and 4 p.m. on the day of the party. Anthony Manny Manuel, a manufacturing specialist for Miller Coors company told the jury about a prime piece of evidence, the crumpled Miller Lite can in which McNamee says he placed medical waste collected from Clemens and others. Using markings on the bottom of the can, Manuele determined that it was packaged July 19, 2001 in North Carolina, the same region that serviced McNamee's New York home. Now, what does that prove? Well, that basically makes McNamee's word a little more valuable. It shows that he was telling the, well, it makes you more apt to believe some of the other stuff that he said, because here he says something, I was at a party and I was doing this and that, and he had, no real proof, but, oh, here's this beer can, which proves that he was actually there. So it kind of, like, validates the other stuff that he said. Speaking of validating, outfielder Torrey Hunter, he's had a hard time on the baseball field, and now he's having a hard time with his son. He's had to take a leave of absence from the Angels organization. His son has been charged with sexually assaulting another girl in a bathroom in an apartment, and he and three other juvenile boys. Now, according to the family, the girl has already called and, recanted her testimony and said that it never happened, so on and so forth. But the case has shed light on a group of 15 to 20 current and former area students who call themselves Team Snapback, a name derived from a type of adjustable baseball cap. Many Prosper students said that, the sports and that the name also doubles as a sexual innuendo, Snapback. Figure it out for yourself. Prosecutors alleged some members drugged groups of girls and engaged in forced sex, according to the Dallas Morning News. Hunter A. Jr. at Prosper High has been recruited by several major college programs. His father, a 9-time Golden Glove outfielder, as I said, took leave from the Angels after his son's arrest and plans to stay by his side until the matter is resolved. That's the last thing the Angels need. They're having a shitty season as it is. Pujols is still kind of not hitting all that good, so, that's kind of the last thing that they need. But, all kinds of stuff going on in the courtroom. Also, speaking of stuff going on, Mark Teixeira does not really have it going on. He's had a very tough season so far. He's suffering from a bronchial infection. Joe Girardi moved him down to batting seventh in the order yesterday. For a guy like Teixeira, that's a big freaking demotion. He's never batted below fifth. To the layman, you think, oh, well, what's the difference where somebody bats? But for guys that, anyone that knows anything about baseball, where you bat says a lot about who you are and, your abilities. And if you're batting seventh, things aren't going as good as when you should be batting like fifth. So, it's definitely a demotion for Teixeira. Girardi handled it well. As people may or may not recall, when Alex Rodriguez was really, really scuffling, and Joe Torre moved him down to batting eighth in the order, and without even talking to Alex about it, which I thought was a Bush League move, Girardi.
Peter, we're at 1 minute, so you need to close.
Yes, thank you. Let's be professional. I have a clock here that I'm looking at. Anyway, I thought, Torrey didn't handle the moving A-Rod down in a very good manner. As I said, Torrey played a lot of favorites, and I think eventually that hurt those teams. That's why they didn't win anymore. But that's it for this week. Shout-out to all my woodheads out there, Ron, Mark, Leo, Dino, Troy, Greg at AFS, everyone at the Northeast Athletic Club, my partner Money Mike. That's it for this week. Next week, I will be giving my report from sunny Florida.
All right. Thank you, Woody. Listening to us tonight, and tune in tomorrow night for more news and our guest Gail Corey-Tonsing, who's going to talk about the Palestinian issue with us.
Right. And we got a lot more news we'll be bringing you as well that we weren't able to cover tonight. So thanks everybody for listening.
And have a good night.
Yeah. tell you one more thing. I forgot. I'm sorry, Jen and John, if you happen to be listening to the show tonight. I wanted to mention this. Our special guest next week, on next Wednesday, will be Cheryl Curtis, who is sponsoring the architects and engineers, with Richard Gage, and his forum and a presentation of their new movie, Exposing It, I believe is the name of it. Exposing 9/11.
And that's playing in Hartford?
That's playing in West Hartford, I believe, at the
University
of Hartford.
On June 17th.
At the auditorium on June 17th. And you can check out Architects and Engineers events, okay, for that. And A&E for 9/11 Truth, okay, .org. And that's, or just go to Richard Gage and check it out and go to his website. I'm sure that information is there. But the organizer of that and the host of the radio program, her radio program is Cheryl Curtis.
And she's going to be on with us. When is that, Leo?
Next Wednesday.
So a week from tomorrow, she'll be on. We'll look forward to talking.
And we'll be
talking
about 9/11 and all the new information and all the publicity going around it and what they're doing in the Canadian conferences they've had and the kind of receptions they've been getting.
So just stay tuned for that, folks. And in the meantime, I hope you enjoy a good evening and tune in to us tomorrow night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.